Hail Mary. And she stretched out her arm to me and said, Come and sit beside me, and let us watch the sun pour its blood upon the hills. I sat beside her on the bench, and we gazed into the west through the window. After a moment, Mary said, I wonder, who is crucifying the sun this eventide? Then I said, I came to you for comfort. My son has left me for the sea, and I am alone in the house across the way. Then Mary said, I would comfort you, but how shall I? And I said, If you will only speak of your son, I shall be comforted. And Mary smiled upon me, and she laid her hand about my shoulder, and she said, I will speak of him. That which will console you will give me consolation. Then she spoke of Jesus, and she spoke long of all that was in the beginning. And it seemed to me that in her speech she would have no difference between her son and mine, for she said to me, My son is also a seafarer. Why would you not trust your son to the waves, even as I have trusted him? Woman shall be forever the womb and the cradle, but never the tomb. We die, that we may give life unto life, even as our fingers spin the thread for the raiment that we shall never wear. And we cast the net for the fish that we shall never taste. And for this we sorrow, yet in all this is our joy. Thus spoke Mary to me, and I left her and came to my house. And though the light of the day was spent, I sat at my loom to weave more of the cloth. Seasons of your heart. Your pain is the breaking of the shell that encloses your understanding. Even as the stone of the fruit must break, that its heart may stand in the sun, so must you know pain. If you could keep your heart in wonder at the daily miracles of life, your pain would not seem less wondrous than your joy. You would accept the seasons of your heart, even as you have always accepted the seasons that pass over your fields. Great longing. The madman speaks. Here I sit between my brother the mountain and my sister the sea. We three are one in loneliness, and the love that binds us together is deep and strong and strange. Nay, it is deeper than my sister's depth, and stronger than my brother's strength, and stranger than the strangeness of my madness. Eons upon eons have passed since the first gray dawn made us visible to one another. And though we have seen the birth and the fullness and the death of many worlds, we are still eager and young. We are young and eager, and yet we are mateless and unvisited. And though we lie in unbroken half-embrace, we are uncomforted. And what comfort is there for controlled desire and unspent passion? Whence shall come the flaming god to warm my sister's bed? And what she-torrent shall quench my brother's fire? And who is the woman that shall command my heart? In the stillness of the night, my sister murmurs in her sleep the fire god's unknown name, and my brother calls afar upon the cool and distant goddess. But upon whom I call in my sleep, I know not. Here I sit between my brother the mountain and my sister the sea. We three are one in loneliness, and the love that binds us together is deep and strong and strange. Longing beyond words. We were fluttering, wandering, longing creatures a thousand years before the sea and the wind and the forest gave us words. Now, how can we express the ancient of days in us with only the sounds of our yesterdays? The Sphinx spoke only once, and the Sphinx said, A grain of sand is a desert, and a desert is a grain of sand. And now let us all be silent again. Alone? Alone? And what of it? You came alone, and alone shall you pass into the mist. Therefore drink your cup alone and in silence. The autumn days have given other lips other cups and filled them with wine, bitter and sweet, even as they have filled your cup. Drink your cup alone, though it tastes of your own blood and tears, and praise life for the gift of thirst. For without thirst, your heart is but the shore of a barren sea, songless and without a tide. Unsealing the heart. How shall my heart be unsealed, unless it be broken? Only great sorrow or great joy can reveal your truth. If you would be revealed, you must either dance naked in the sun or carry your cross. Speaking and listening to the heart. The voice of life in me cannot reach the ear of life in you, but let us talk that we may not feel lonely. Should one tell a lie that does not hurt you nor anyone else, why not say in your heart that the house of facts is too small for his fancies, and he had to leave it for a larger space? A great person has two hearts. One bleeds, and the other forbears. The reality of other people is not in what they reveal to you, but in what they cannot reveal to you. Therefore, if you would understand them, listen not to what they say, but rather to what they do not say. Freedom and slavery. You were free before the sun of the day and free before the stars of the night, and you were free when there are no sun and no moon and no stars. You were even free when you close your eyes upon all there is. But you are a slave to the one whom you love because you love him, and a slave to her who loves you because she loves you. If you would possess, you must not claim. Weep for the beloved. The woman of Byblos offers a lamentation at the time of Jesus. Weep with me, ye daughters of Astarte, and all ye lovers of Tammuz. Bid your heart melt and rise and run with blood tears, for he who was made of gold and ivory is no more. In the dark forest, the boar overcame him, and the tusks of the boar pierced his flesh. Now he lies stained with the leaves of yesteryear, and no longer shall his footsteps wake the seeds that sleep in the bosom of the spring. His voice will not come with the dawn to my window, and I shall be forever alone. Weep with me, ye daughters of Astarte, and all ye lovers of Tammuz, for my beloved has escaped me. He who spoke as the rivers speak, he whose voice and time were twins, he whose mouth was a red pain made sweet, he on whose lips gall would turn to honey. Weep with me, daughters of Astarte, and ye lovers of Tammuz. Weep with me around his bier, as the stars weep, and as the moon petals fall upon his wounded body. Wet with your tears the silken covers of my bed, where my beloved once lay in my dream. It was gone away in my awakening. I charge ye, daughters of Astarte, and all ye lovers of Tammuz, bare your breasts and weep and comfort me, for Jesus of Nazareth is dead. Byblos, now called Jebel, was an ancient city on the Mediterranean coast in present-day Lebanon. Previously occupied by Egypt and Assyria, Byblos is associated with great goddess Astarte, called the Lady of Byblos, and her dying god consort, Tammuz. The worship of both was undoubtedly still strong at the time of Jesus. Harvesting the heart's pain. A poet's voice speaks. The power of charity sows seed deep in my heart, and I reap and gather the wheat in bundles and give it to the hungry. My soul gives life to the grapevine, and I press its bunches and give the juice to the thirsty. Heaven fills my lamp with oil, and I place it at my window to direct the stranger through the dark. I do all these things because I live in them, and if destiny should tie my hands and prevent me from so doing, then death would be my only desire. For I am a poet, and if I cannot give, I shall refuse to receive. Humanity rages like a tempest, but I sigh in silence, for I know the storm must pass away, while a sigh goes to God. Humanity clings to earthly things, but I seek ever to embrace the torch of love so it will purify me by its fire and sear inhumanity from my heart. Material things deaden people who try to live without suffering. Love awakens them with enlivening pains. Humanity is divided into different clans and tribes and belongs to countries and towns. But I find myself a stranger to all communities and belong to no settlement. The universe is my country, and the human family is my tribe. People are weak, and it is sad that they divide among themselves. The world is narrow, and it is unwise to cleave it into kingdoms, empires, and provinces. Humanity unites itself only to destroy the temples of the soul, and it joins hands to build edifices for earthly bodies. I stand alone, listening to the voice of hope in my deep self saying, as love enlivens our heart with pain, so ignorance teaches us the way of knowledge. Pain and ignorance lead to great joy and knowledge, because the Supreme Being has created nothing vain under the sun. 3. All our relationships. Love has many faces, many ways to play hide and seek. Those whom we call family, friends, strangers, and enemies all reveal the fingers of one loving hand. Mother, the most beautiful word on the lips of humanity is the word mother, and the most beautiful call is the call of my mother. It is a word full of hope and love, a sweet and kind word coming from the depths of the heart. The mother is everything. She is our consolation in sorrow, our hope in misery, and our strength in weakness. She is the source of love, mercy, sympathy, and forgiveness. Everything in nature speaks of the mother. The sun is the mother of earth and gives it its nourishment of heat. It never leaves the universe at night until it has put the earth to sleep, to the song of the sea and the hymn of birds and brooks. And this earth is the mother of trees and flowers. It produces them, nurses them, and weans them. The trees and flowers become kind mothers of their great fruits and seeds. And the mother, the prototype of all existence, is the eternal spirit, full of beauty and love. The word mother is hidden in our hearts, and it comes upon our lips in hours of sorrow and happiness, just as the perfume comes from the heart of the rose and mingles with both clear and cloudy air. The song that lies silent. The song that lies silent in the heart of a mother sings upon the lips of her child. No longing remains unfulfilled. Sayings on children. Long were you a dream in your mother's sleep, and then she awoke to give you birth. The germ of the race is in your mother's longing. My father and mother desired a child, and they begot me. And I wanted a mother and a father, and I begot night and the sea. Some of our children are our justifications, and some are but our regrets. Lullabies. We often sing lullabies to our children that we ourselves may sleep. If love were in the flesh, the mother of Judas speaks, if love were in the flesh, I would burn it out with hot irons and be at peace. But it is in the soul, unreachable. Hide and seek. Now, let us play hide and seek. Should you hide in my heart, it would not be difficult to find you. But should you hide behind your own shell, then it would be useless for anyone to seek you. Love song. A poet once wrote a love song, and it was beautiful. He made many copies of it and sent them to his friends and acquaintances, both men and women, and even to a young woman whom he had met but once, who lived beyond the mountains. In a day or two, a messenger came from the young woman bringing a letter. And in the letter, she said, let me assure you, I am deeply touched by the love song that you have written to me. Come now, and see my father and my mother, and we shall make arrangements for the betrothal. The poet answered the letter, and said to her, "My friend, it was but a song of love out of a poet's heart, sung by every man to every woman." And she wrote again to him, saying, "Hypocrite and liar in words, from this day, until my coffin day, I shall hate all poets for your sake." Love and hate. A woman said to a man, "I love you." And the man said, "It is in my heart to be worthy of your love." And the woman said, "You love me not?" And the man only gazed upon her and said nothing. Then the woman cried aloud, "I hate you." And the man said, "Then it is also in my heart to be worthy of your hate." Two sides. Yestereve, on the marble steps of the temple, I saw a woman sitting between two men. One side of her face was pale, the other was blushing. The Hermit, the Beasts, and Love. Once there lived a hermit among the green hills. He was pure of spirit and white of heart, and all the animals of the land and all the fowl of the air came to him in pairs, and he spoke to them. They heard him gladly, and they would gather near him, and would not go until nightfall, when he would send them away, entrusting them to the wind and the woods with his blessing. Upon an evening, as he was speaking of love, a leopard raised her head and said to the hermit, "You speak to us of loving. Tell us, sir, where is your mate?" And the hermit said, "I have no mate." Then a great cry of surprise rose from the company of beasts and fowl, and they began to say among themselves, "How can he tell us of loving and mating, when he himself knows naught thereof?" And quietly, and in disdain, they left him alone. That night, the hermit lay upon his mat with his face earthward, and he wept bitterly and beat his hands upon his breast. Working with love. What is it to work with love? It is to weave the cloth with threads drawn from your heart, even as if your beloved were to wear that cloth. It is to build a house with affection, even as if your beloved were to dwell in that house. It is to sow seeds with tenderness and reap the harvest with joy, even as if your beloved were to eat the fruit. It is to charge all things you fashion with a breath of your own spirit, and to know that all the blessed dead are standing about you, watching. Wave a bit nearer. One branch in bloom said to its neighboring branch, "This is a dull and empty day." And the other branch answered, "It is indeed empty and dull." At that moment, a sparrow alighted on one of the branches, and then another sparrow nearby. One of the sparrows chirped and said, "My mate has left me." And the other sparrow cried, "My mate has also gone, and she will not return. So what do I care?" Then the two birds began to twitter and scold, and soon they were fighting and making harsh noises upon the air. All of a sudden, two other sparrows came sailing from the sky and sat quietly beside the restless two. And there was calm, and there was peace. Then the four flew away together in pairs. And the first branch said to its neighboring branch, "That was a mighty zigzag of sound." And the other branch answered, "Call it what you will. It is now both peaceful and spacious. And if the upper air makes peace, it seems to me that those who dwell in the lower might make peace also. Will you not wave in the wind a little nearer to me?" And the first branch said, "Oh, perchance for peace's sake, before the spring is over." And then it waved itself with a strong wind to embrace the other. Sayings on Enemies. I have no enemies, O God, but if I am to have an enemy, let his strength be equal to mine, that truth alone may be the victor. You will be quite friendly with your enemy when you both die. Oftentimes, I have hated in self-defense, but if I were stronger, I would not have used such a weapon. Friends and Strangers. Georgius of Beirut speaks of Jesus. "He and his friends were in the grove of pines beyond my hedge, and he was talking to them. I stood near the hedge and listened, and I knew who he was, for his fame had reached these shores before he himself visited them. When he ceased speaking, I approached him and said, "Sir, come with these men and honor me in my roof." And he smiled upon me and said, "Not this day, my friend, not this day." There was a blessing in his words, and his voice enfolded me like a garment on a cold night. Then he turned to his friends and said, "Behold, a man who deems us not strangers, and though he has not seen us ere this day, he bids us to his threshold. Verily, in my kingdom, there are no strangers. Our life is but the life of all other people, given us that we may know all people, and in that knowledge, love them. The deeds of all people are but our deeds, both the hidden and the revealed. I charge you not to be one self, but rather many selves, the householder and the homeless, the plower and the sparrow that picks the grain before it slumbers in the earth, the giver who gives in gratitude, and the receiver who receives in pride and recognition. The beauty of the day is not only in what you see, but in what others see. For this, I have chosen you from among the many who have chosen me." Then he turned to me again and smiled and said, "I say these things to you also, and you also shall remember them." Then I entreated him and said, "Master, will you not visit in my house?" And he answered, "I know your heart, and I have visited your larger house." And as he walked away with his disciples, he said, "Good night, and may your house be large enough to shelter all the wanderers of the land." Friendship, hours to live. When your friend speaks his mind, you fear not the nay in your own mind, nor do you withhold the eye. And when your friend is silent, your heart ceases not to listen to his heart. For without words, in friendship, all thoughts, all desires, and all expectations are born and shared with a joy that is unacclaimed. When you part from your friend, and you grieve not, for that which you love most in him may be clearer in his absence, as the mountain to the climber is clear from the plain. And let there be no purpose in friendship save the deepening of the spirit. For love, that seeks anything but the disclosure of its own mystery, is not love, but a net cast forth, and only the unprofitable is caught. And let your best be for your friend. If he must know the ebb of your tide, let him know its flood also. For what is your friend that you should seek him with hours to kill? Seek him always with hours to live. Friendship's sweet responsibility. Friendship is always a sweet responsibility, never an opportunity. If you do not understand your friend under all conditions, you will never understand him. Loving the neighbor. When you enjoy loving your neighbor, it ceases to be a virtue. Your neighbor's your unknown self. Joseph of Arimathea remembers Jesus. And he would say, "Your neighbor is your unknown self, made visible. His face shall be reflected in your still waters, and if you gaze therein, you shall behold your own countenance. Should you listen in the night, you shall hear him speak, and his words shall be the throbbing of your own heart. Be unto him that which you would have him be unto you. This is my law, and I shall say it unto you and unto your children, and they unto their children, until time is spent and generations are no more." And on another day he said, "You shall not be yourself alone. You are in the deeds of others, and they, though unknowing, are with you all your days. They shall not commit a crime, and your hand not be with their hand. They shall not fall down, but that you shall also fall down. And they shall not rise, but that you shall rise with them. Their road to the sanctuary is your road, and when they seek the waste land, you too seek it with them. You and your neighbor are two seeds sown in the field. Together you grow, and together you shall sway in the wind, and neither of you shall claim the field. For a seed on its way to growth claims not even its own ecstasy. Today I am with you. Tomorrow I go westward. But before I go, I say unto you that your neighbor is your unknown self, made visible. Seek him in love, that you may know yourself. For only in that knowledge shall you become my brothers. The neighbor unbefriended. The space that lies between you and your near neighbor, unbefriended, is indeed greater than that which lies between you and your beloved, who dwells beyond the seven lands and seven seas. Your neighbor is a field. Peter recollects his time with Jesus. Once in Capernaum, my Lord and Master spoke thus, "Your neighbor is your other self, dwelling behind a wall. In understanding, all walls shall fall down. Who knows but that your neighbor is your better self, wearing another body? See that you love him as you would love yourself. He too is a manifestation of the Most High, whom you do not know. Your neighbor is a field, where the springs of your hope walk in their green garments, and where the winters of your desire dream of snowy heights. Your neighbor is a mirror, wherein you shall behold your countenance made beautiful by a joy which you yourself did not know, and by a sorrow you yourself did not share. I would have you love your neighbor even as I have loved you." Then I asked him, saying, "How can I love a neighbor who loves me not, and who covets my property, one who would steal my possessions?" And he answered, "When you are plowing, and your servant is sowing the seed behind you, would you stop and look backward and put to flight a sparrow feeding upon a few of your seeds? Should you do this, you were not worthy of the riches of your harvest." When Jesus had said this, I was ashamed, and I was silent, but I was not in fear, for he smiled upon me. Love and patriotism. A poet's voice speaks. "I have a yearning for my beautiful country, and I love its people because of their misery. But if my people rose, stimulated by plunder and motivated by what they call patriotic spirit, to murder and invade my neighbor's country, then upon the committing of any human atrocity, I would hate my people and my country. I sing the praise of my birthplace and long to see the home of my children. But if the people in that home refused to shelter and feed the needy wayfarer, I would convert my praise to anger and my longing to forgetfulness. My inner voice would say, 'The house that does not comfort the needy is worthy of nothing but destruction.' I love my native village with some of my love for my country, and I love my country with part of my love for the earth, all of which is my country, and I love the earth with all of myself, because it is the haven of humanity, the manifest spirit of God. Humanity is the spirit of the supreme being on earth, and that humanity is standing amidst ruins, hiding its nakedness behind tattered rags, shedding tears upon hollow cheeks, and calling for its children with a pitiful voice. But the children are busy singing their clan's anthem. They're busy sharpening their swords, and cannot hear the cry of their mothers. Humanity appeals to its people, but they listen not. Were one to listen and console a mother by wiping her tears, others would say, 'He is weak, affected by sentiment.' Humanity is the spirit of the supreme being on earth, and that supreme being preaches love and goodwill. But the people ridicule such teachings. The Nazarene Jesus listened, and crucifixion was his lot. Socrates heard the voice and followed it, and he too fell victim in body. The followers of the Nazarene and Socrates are the followers of deity, and since people will not kill them, they deride them, saying, 'Ridicule is more bitter than killing.' Jerusalem could not kill the Nazarene, nor Athens Socrates. They are living yet, and shall live eternally. Ridicule cannot triumph over the followers of deity. They live and grow forever." Spaces in your togetherness. You were born together, and together you shall be forevermore. But let there be spaces in your togetherness, and let the winds of the heavens dance between you. Love one another, but make not a bond of love. Let it rather be a moving sea between the shores of your souls. Sing and dance together and be joyous, but let each one of you be alone, even as the strings of a lute are alone, though they quiver with the same music. Give your hearts, but not into each other's keeping, for only the hand of life can contain your hearts. Flame to flame. The ancient earth gods continue their conversation about the purpose of life, while observing a loving couple embracing each other. Behold, man and woman, flame to flame in white ecstasy. Roots that suck at the breast of purple earth, flame flowers at the breasts of the sky. And we are the purple breast, and we are the enduring sky. Our soul, even the soul of life, your soul and mine, dwells this night in a throat inflamed, and garments the body of a girl with beating waves. Your scepter cannot sway this destiny. Your weariness is but ambition. This and all is wiped away in the passion of a man and a maid. They who are conquered by love, and upon whose bodies love's chariot ran from sea to mountain, and again from mountain to the sea, stand even now in a shy half-embrace. Petal to petal, they breathe the sacred perfume. Soul to soul, they find the soul of life. And upon their eyelids lies a prayer unto you and unto me. Love is a knight bent down to a bower anointed, a sky turned to meadow, and all the stars turned to fireflies. True it is, we are the beyond, and we are the most high. But love is beyond our questioning, and love outsoars our song. Loving the lost sheep. A shepherd in southern Lebanon speaks about meeting Jesus. Then he said, and there was joy and laughter in his voice, "Let us go into the north country and meet the spring. Come with me to the hills, for winter is past, and the snows of Lebanon are descending to the valleys to sing with the brooks. The fields and the vineyards have banished sleep and are awake to greet the sun with their green figs and tender grapes." It was late summer when he and three other men first walked upon that road yonder. It was evening, and he stopped and stood there at the end of the pasture. I was playing upon my flute, and my flock was grazing all around me. When he stopped, I rose and walked over and stood before him. And he asked me, "Where's the grave of Elijah? Is it not somewhere near this place?" And I answered him, "It is there, sir, underneath that great heap of stones. Even unto this day every passerby brings a stone and places it upon the heap." He thanked me and walked away, and his friends walked behind him. After 3 days, Gamaliel, who was also a shepherd, said to me that the man who had passed by was a prophet in Judea. But I did not believe him. Yet I thought of that man for many a moon. When spring came, Jesus passed once more by this pasture, and this time he was alone. I was not playing on my flute that day, for I had lost a sheep and was bereaved, and my heart was downcast within me. I walked towards him and stood still before him, for I desired to be comforted. And he looked at me and said, "You do not play upon your flute this day. Whence is the sorrow in your eyes?" I answered, "A sheep from among my sheep is lost. I have sought her everywhere, but I find her not, and I know not what to do." He was silent for a moment. Then he smiled upon me and said, "Wait here a while, and I will find your sheep." And he walked away and disappeared among the hills. After an hour, he returned, and my sheep was close behind him. As he stood before me, the sheep looked up into his face even as I was looking. Then I embraced her in gladness, and he put his hand upon my shoulder and said, "From this day, you shall love this sheep more than any other in your flock, for she was lost, and now she is found." And again, I embraced my sheep in gladness, and she came close to me, and I was silent. But when I raised my head to thank Jesus, he was already walking afar off, and I had not the courage to follow him. The fingers of one loving hand. A poet's voice speaks. "You are my brother and sister, because you are human beings. We are all children of one Holy Spirit. We are equal and made of the same earth. You are here as my companions along the path of life, and my aid in understanding the meaning of hidden truth. You are human beings, and that fact sufficing, I love you. You may speak of me as you choose, for tomorrow shall take you away and will use your talk as evidence for its judgment, and you shall receive justice. You may deprive me of whatever I possess, for my greed instigated the amassing of wealth, and you are entitled to my lot if it will satisfy you. You may do unto me whatever you wish, but you shall not be able to touch my truth. You may shed my blood and burn my body, but you cannot kill or hurt my spirit. You may tie my hands with chains and my feet with shackles and put me in the dark prison, but you shall not enslave my thinking, for it is free like the breeze in the spacious sky. You are my brother and sister, and I love you. I love you worshiping in your church, kneeling in your temple, and praying in your mosque. You and I are all children of one religion, for the varied paths of religion are but the fingers of the loving hand of the Supreme Being, extended to all, offering completeness of spirit to all, anxious to receive all. I love you for your truth, derived from your knowledge, that truth which I cannot see because of my ignorance, but I respect it as a divine thing, for it is the deed of the Spirit. Your truth shall meet my truth in the coming world and blend together like the fragrance of flowers. It shall become one whole and eternal truth, perpetuating and living in the eternity of love and beauty. I love you because you are weak before the strong oppressor and poor before the greedy rich. For these reasons, I shed tears and comfort you. And from behind my tears, I see you embraced in the arms of justice, smiling and forgiving your persecutors. You are my brother and sister, and I love you. 4. A love beyond. Love is more than an emotion. It is a secret force that breaks our ideas of who we think we are and transports us on a path that extends through this life and beyond. Love's winter. Come close to me, O companion of my full life. Come close to me, and let not winter's touch enter between us. Sit by me before the hearth, for fire is the only fruit of winter. Speak to me of the glory of your heart, for that is greater than the shrieking elements beyond our door. Bind the door and seal the transoms, for the angry countenance of the heaven depresses my spirit, and the face of our snow-laden fields makes my soul cry. Feed the lamp with oil, and let it not dim, and place it by you, so I can read with tears what your life with me has written upon your face. Bring autumn's wine. Let us drink and sing the song of remembrance to spring's carefree sowing, and summer's watchful tending, and autumn's reward in harvest. Come close to me, O beloved of my soul. The fire is cooling and fleeing under the ashes. Embrace me, for I fear loneliness. The lamp is dim, and the wine that we pressed is closing our eyes. Let us look upon each other before they are shut. Find me with your arms and embrace me. Let slumber then embrace our souls as one. Kiss me, my beloved, for winter has stolen all but our moving lips. You are close by me, my forever. How deep and wide will be the ocean of slumber, and how recent was the dawn. A rhythm for lovers. You shall rise beyond your words, but your path shall remain a rhythm and a fragrance, a rhythm for lovers and for all who were beloved, and a fragrance for those who had lived life in a garden. You shall go down deeper than your words, aye, deeper than all sounds, to the very heart of the earth, and there you shall be alone with the one who walks upon the Milky Way. Love is the only freedom. Love is the only freedom in the world, because it so elevates the spirit that the laws of humanity and the phenomena of nature do not alter its course. Love is justice. A poet's voice speaks. You are my brothers and sisters, but why are you quarreling with me? Why do you invade my country and try to subjugate me for the sake of pleasing those who are seeking glory and authority? Why do you leave your wives, husbands, and children and follow death to a distant land for the sake of those who buy glory with your blood and high honor with your mother's tears? Is it an honor for a man to kill his brother? If you deem it an honor, let it be an act of worship and erect a temple to Cain, who slew his brother Abel. Is self-preservation the first law of nature? Why then does greed urge you to self-sacrifice in order only to achieve its aim in hurting your brothers and sisters? Beware, my brothers and sisters, of the leader who says, "Love of existence obliges us to deprive the people of their rights." I say unto you but this: protecting others' rights is the noblest and most beautiful human act. If my existence requires that I kill others, then death is more honorable to me. And if I cannot find someone to kill me for the protection of my honor, I will not hesitate to take my life by my own hands for the sake of eternity, before eternity comes. Selfishness, my brothers and sisters, is the cause of blind superiority, and superiority creates clanship, and clanship creates authority that leads to discord and subjugation. The soul believes in the power of knowledge and justice over dark ignorance. It denies the authority that supplies the swords to defend and strengthen ignorance and oppression. That authority destroyed Babylon and shook the foundations of Jerusalem and left Rome in ruins. It is that which made people call criminals great, made writers respect their names, and made historians relate the stories of their inhumanity in the manner of praise. The only authority I obey is the knowledge of guarding and acquiescing in the natural law of justice. What justice does authority display when it kills the killer? When it imprisons the robber? When it descends on a neighbor country and slays its people? What does justice think of the authority under which a killer punishes the one who kills, and a thief sentences the one who steals? You are my brothers and sisters, and I love you. And love is justice with its full intensity and dignity. If justice did not support my love for you, regardless of your tribe and community, I would be a deceiver, concealing the ugliness of selfishness behind the outer garment of pure love. Silence whispers to the heart. It is not the syllables that come from lips and tongues that bring hearts together. There is something greater and purer than what the mouth utters. Silence illuminates our souls, whispers to our hearts, and brings them together. Silence separates us from ourselves, makes us sail the firmament of spirit, and brings us closer to heaven. It makes us feel that bodies are no more than prisons, and that this world is only a place of exile. Love Song of the Wave. The strong shore is my beloved, and I am his sweetheart. We are at last united by love, and then the moon draws me from him. I go to him in haste, and depart reluctantly, with many little farewells. I steal swiftly from behind the blue horizon to cast the silver of my foam upon the gold of his sand, and we blend in melted brilliance. I quench his thirst, and submerge his heart. He softens my voice and subdues my temper. At dawn, I recite the rules of love to his ears, and he embraces me longingly. At eventide, I sing to him the song of hope, and then print smooth kisses on his face. I am swift and fearful, but he is quiet, patient, and thoughtful. His broad bosom soothes my restlessness. As the tide comes, we caress each other. When it withdraws, I drop to his feet in prayer. Many times have I danced around mermaids as they rose from the depths and rested upon my crest to watch the stars. Many times have I heard lovers complain of their smallness, and I helped them to sigh. Many times have I teased the great rocks and fondled them with a smile, but never have I received laughter from them. Many times have I lifted drowning souls and carried them tenderly to my beloved shore. He gives them strength as he takes mine. Many times have I stolen gems from the depths and presented them to my beloved shore. He takes them in silence, but still I give, for he welcomes me ever. In the heaviness of night, when all creatures seek the ghost of slumber, I sit up, singing at one time and sighing at another. I am awake always. Alas, sleeplessness has weakened me. But I am a lover, and the truth of love is strong. I may be weary, but I shall never die. Seeds of Heart. Every seed is a longing. Sow a seed, and the earth will yield you a flower. Dream your dream to the sky, and it will bring you your beloved. Song of Love. I am the lover's eyes, and the spirit's wine, and the heart's nourishment. I am a rose. My heart opens at dawn, and the virgin kisses me and places me upon her breast. I am the house of true fortune, and the origin of pleasure, and the beginning of peace and tranquility. I am the gentle smile upon the lips of beauty. When youth overtakes me, he forgets his toil, and his whole life becomes a reality of sweet dreams. I am the poet's elation, and the artist's revelation, and the musician's inspiration. I am a sacred shrine in the heart of a child, adored by a merciful mother. I appear to a heart's cry. I shun a demand. My fullness pursues the heart's desire. It shuns the empty claim of the voice. I appeared to Adam through Eve, and exile was their lot. Yet I revealed myself to Solomon, and he drew wisdom from my presence. I smiled at Helena, and she destroyed Tarwada. Yet I crowned Cleopatra, and peace dominated the valley of the Nile. I am like the ages, building today and destroying tomorrow. I am like a god who creates and ruins. I am sweeter than a violet sigh. I am more violent than a raging tempest. Gifts alone do not entice me. Parting does not discourage me. Poverty does not chase me. Jealousy does not prove my awareness. Madness does not evidence my presence. O seekers, I am truth beseeching truth, and your truth in seeking and receiving and protecting me shall determine my behavior. Tarwana is Arabic for Troy. Love's light. Love is a word of light, written by a hand of light, upon a page of light. Love is sufficient to itself. Love gives naught but itself, and takes naught but from itself. Love possesses not, nor would it be possessed. For love is sufficient unto love. When you love, you should not say, God is in my heart, but rather, I am in the heart of God. When love becomes vast. Looking back, John of Patmos speaks of Jesus. Once more I would speak of him. God gave me the voice and the burning lips, though not the speech. And unworthy am I for the fuller word, yet I would summon my heart to my lips. Jesus loved me, and I knew not why. And I loved him because he quickened my spirit to heights beyond my stature and to depths beyond my sounding. Love is a sacred mystery. To those who love, it remains forever wordless. But to those who do not love, it may be but a heartless jest. Jesus called me and my brother when we were laboring in the field. I was young then, and only the voice of dawn had visited my ears. But his voice, and the trumpet of his voice, was the end of my labor, and the beginning of my passion. And there was nothing for me then but to walk in the sun and worship the loveliness of the hour. Could you conceive a majesty too kind to be majestic, and a beauty too radiant to seem beautiful? Could you hear in your dreams a voice shy of its own rapture? He called me, and I followed him. That evening I returned to my father's house to get my other cloak, and I said to my mother, Jesus of Nazareth would have me in his company. And she said, Go his way, my son, even like your brother. And I accompanied him. His fragrance called me and commanded me, but only to release me. Love is a gracious host to its guests, though to the unbidden, its house is a mirage and a mockery. Now you would have me explain the miracles of Jesus. We are all the miraculous gesture of the moment. Our Lord and Master was the center of that moment, yet it was not in his desire that his gestures be known. I have heard him say to the lame, Rise and go home, But say not to the priest that I have made you whole. And Jesus' mind was not with the cripple. It was rather with the strong and the upright. His mind sought and held other minds, and his complete spirit visited other spirits. And in so doing, his spirit changed these minds and these spirits. It seemed miraculous, but with our Lord and Master, it was simply like breathing the air of every day. And now, let me speak of other things. On a day when he and I were alone, walking in a field, we were both hungry, and we came to a wild apple tree. There were only two apples hanging on the bough, and he held the trunk of the tree with his arm and shook it, and the two apples fell down. He picked them both up and gave one to me. The other he held in his hand. In my hunger, I ate the apple, and I ate it fast. Then I looked at him, and I saw that he still held the other apple in his hand. And he gave it to me, saying, "Eat this also." And I took the apple, and in my shameless hunger I ate it. And as we walked on, I looked upon his face. But how shall I tell you of what I saw? A night where candles burn in space, a dream beyond our reaching, a noon where all shepherds are at peace and happy that their flock are grazing, an eventide, and a stillness and a homecoming, then a sleep and a dream. All these things I saw in his face. He had given me the two apples, and I knew he was hungry, even as I was hungry. But I now know that in giving them to me, he had been satisfied. He himself ate of other fruit from another tree. I would tell you more of him, but how shall I? When love becomes vast, love becomes wordless. And when memory is overladen, it seeks the silent deep. Out of my deeper heart. Out of my deeper heart, a bird rose and flew skywards. Higher and higher did it rise, yet larger and larger did it grow. At first, it was but like a swallow, then a lark, then an eagle, then as vast as a spring cloud, and then it filled the starry heavens. Out of my heart, a bird flew skywards, and it waxed larger as it flew. Yet it left not my heart. Oh, my faith, my untamed knowledge, how shall I fly to your height and see with our larger self penciled upon the sky? How shall I turn this sea within me into mist and move with you in space immeasurable? How can a prisoner within the temple behold its golden domes? How shall the heart of a fruit be stretched to envelop the fruit also? Oh, my faith! I am in chains behind these bars of silver and ebony, and I cannot fly with you. Yet out of my heart you rise skyward, and it is my heart that holds you, and I shall be content. Longing for the heart of the beloved. Lazarus laments being brought back to life by Jesus, and speaks to his sister, Mary of Bethany. A madman listens nearby and comments. Lazarus, I was a stream, and I sought the sea where my beloved dwells, and when I reached the sea, I was brought to the hills to run again among the rocks. I was a song imprisoned in silence, longing for the heart of my beloved, and when the winds of heaven released me and uttered me in that green forest, I was recaptured by a voice, and I was turned again into silence. I was a root in the dark earth, and I became a flower, and then a fragrance in space rising to enfold my beloved. And then I was caught and gathered by hand, and I was made a root again, a root in the dark earth. The madman. If you are a root, you can always escape the tempests in the branches. And it is good to be a running stream, even after you have reached the sea. Of course, it is good for water to run upward. Mary, but my brother, it is good to be a running stream, and it is not good to be a song not yet sung, and it is good to be a root in the dark earth. The Master knew all this, and he called you back to us, that we may know there is no veil between life and death. Do you not see how one word uttered in love may bring together elements scattered by an illusion called death? believe and have faith. For only in faith, which is our deeper knowledge, can you find comfort. Lazarus. Comfort. Comfort, the treacherous, the deadly. Comfort that cheats our senses and makes us slaves to the passing hour. I would not have comfort. I would have passion. I would burn in the cool space with my beloved. I would be in the boundless space with my mate, my other self. Oh, Mary. Mary, you were once my sister, and we knew one another even when our nearest kin knew us not. Now listen to me. Listen to me with your heart. We were in space, my beloved and I, and we were all space. We were in light, and we were all light. And we roamed even like the ancient spirit that moved upon the face of the waters, and it was forever the first day. We were love itself that dwells in the heart of the white silence. Then a voice like thunder, a voice like countless spears piercing the ether, cried out saying, Lazarus, come forth. And the voice echoed and re-echoed in space, and I, even as a flood tide, became an ebbing tide. A house divided, a garment rent, a youth unspent, a tower that fell down, and out of its broken stones a landmark was made. A voice cried, Lazarus, come forth. And I descended from the mansion of the sky to a tomb within a tomb. This body in a sealed cave. Love and time. Who among you does not feel that your power to love is boundless? And yet, who does not feel that very love, though boundless, encompassed within the center of your being, yet moving not from love thought to love thought, nor from love deeds to other love deeds? And is not time, even as love is, undivided and paceless? But if in thought you must measure time into seasons, let each season encircle all the other seasons. And let today embrace the past with remembrance, and the future with longing. Love created in a moment. It is wrong to think that love comes from long companionship and persevering courtship. Love is the offspring of spiritual affinity, and unless that affinity is created in a moment, it will not be created in years or even generations. The gardens of our passion. 30 years later, Mary Magdalene reflects. Once again I say that, with death, Jesus conquered death and rose from the grave a spirit and a power, and he walked in our solitude and visited the gardens of our passion. He lies not there in that cleft rock behind the stone. We who love him beheld him with these our eyes, which he made to see. And we touched him with these our hands, which he taught to reach forth. I know you who believe not in him. I was one of you, and you are many, but your number shall be diminished. Must you break your harp and your lyre to find the music therein? Or must you fell a tree ere you can believe it bears fruit? You hate Jesus, because someone from the north country said he was the Son of God. But you hate one another, because each of you deems himself too great to be the brother of the next one. You hate him because someone said he was born of a virgin and not of human seed. But you know not the mothers who go to the tomb in virginity, nor the men who go down to the grave choked with their own thirst. You know not that the earth was given in marriage to the sun, and that earth it is who sends us forth to the mountain and the desert. There's a gulf that yawns between those who love him and those who hate him, between those who believe and those who do not believe. But when the years have bridged that gulf, you shall know that he who lived in us is deathless, that he was the Son of God, even as we are the children of God, that he was born of a virgin, even as we are born of the husbandless earth. It is passing strange that the earth gives not to the unbelievers the roots that would suck at her breast, nor the wings wherewith to fly high and drink and be filled with the dews of her space. But I know what I know, and it is enough. Love's wild assault. The ancient earth gods conclude that their weariness with life is unwarranted, and that the presence of love has changed everything. First God.